Today's scripture readings come from Romans and 1 John. First, from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verses 10, 13, and 15. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. And now from 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 8 and 12. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and God's love is perfected in us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I first saw Rent when I was in 11th grade, and I'm overcome with emotions today to hear these beloved songs sung in this beloved space by people I love so much. Rent came for me what Hamilton is for my kids now, a story that gets inside you before you understand why. I was a small town kid from southern Minnesota. I didn't know about the Lower East Side in New York. I only knew a little about the AIDS crisis and queer community, and even less about the particular mix of poverty, artistry, illness, and exclusion shaping these characters' lives. But when I saw Rent, I knew something holy was happening in the music and the friendships. The way they held on to one another, messily, imperfectly, fiercely, stayed with me. Rent gave me a vision of people trying to survive without surrendering their humanity. A group of young adults in New York, artists, musicians, dancers, filmmakers, activists, trying to make art, pay rent, love each other, and find out what a life means when everything around them is unstable. They are not powerful or secure. Many are poor. Several are living with HIV or AIDS. Some have been rejected by families. They live close to grief, close to precarity, close to the edge. And still, they keep reaching for joy, for connection, for one another. That is what makes the question at the center of Rent so powerful. How do you measure a year? The world has all kinds of answers ready for us. Paychecks and savings, milestones, productivity, progress, by whether we built something secure enough to quiet our fear. But Rent pushes toward another answer. What if life is measured not by accumulation, but by love? What if what matters most is not what we manage to amass and control, but how well we loved and cared for one another while we were here? That could sound sentimental, if this story were sentimental. It isn't. Rent is not a tidy love story. It is a story about people living under the weight of illness and poverty and marginalization. It is a story about vulnerable bodies and chosen family formed because biological family or wider society has failed. Friendship becomes not a nice addition to life, but a means of survival. They become family because they have to. At times, they even become something like a church for one another. Nowhere is that clearer than the HIV/AIDS support group, as we just saw. Several characters sit in a circle in an empty community gym, speaking aloud fears most people avoid. They know the future is uncertain. They know what the culture has said about bodies like theirs. They know what it is to be stigmatized, watched from a distance, misunderstood, or abandoned. And in the middle of that circle comes one of the most haunting questions in the musical. Will I lose my dignity? Will someone care? That is not only a question about AIDS, it is a human question. It lives beneath sickness and aging and grief and exclusion. It is the question of anyone who has wondered whether their worth depends on strength, youthfulness, health, conformity, or success. Will I lose my dignity? Will someone care? If we are honest, those are questions that belong to us all. At some point, every one of us wonders whether love can hold when the body fails, when the future is unclear, when our life no longer fits what the world rewards. And into that world, Rent gives us Angel. Angel is one of the most luminous characters in the story. Funny and generous, alive and theatrical, deeply tender. Angel moves through the musical with a kind of radiance. She is a caretaker, a friend, a source of joy, someone who gathers people together. Angel is also living with AIDS. Her life is precarious. She knows suffering firsthand. And yet, again and again, Angel chooses care. Finding Collins beaten and shivering and tending him, creating delight in a bleak world, making room for others, Angel's presence changes the emotional temperature of the whole community. And if you pay attention, Angel becomes, in a real sense, the Christ figure of the story. Not because Angel is perfect or uncomplicated, but because Angel embodies the pattern we recognize in Jesus: closeness to the vulnerable, tenderness toward the suffering, the creation of community among the rejected, the giving of one's life in love. Through Angel, the deepest measure of life is revealed not as status or safety, but as self-giving love. That matters even more when we remember the context in which Rent first appeared. In the mid-1990s, Angel was written as a drag queen, a gender non-conforming presence who did not fit neatly into categories many people and many churches found comfortable. Angel is referred to with different pronouns throughout the show, he and she, in a time before they was widely used. Angel didn't fit anyone's box. Today we have more language. We speak more readily of trans and non-binary and gender non-conforming people. But yet, our progress is limited when we know that queer people generally and trans people specifically are still under attack. Debated in legislatures, denied in policy, mocked in public, and too often rejected in religious spaces. So it matters that in Rent, the character who most clearly embodies Christ-like love is a gender non-conforming queer person. That is not a decorative detail. It is a theological assertion. Christians are often comfortable saying that everyone is loved by God in a general sense. We are less comfortable when a story asks us to recognize Christ in a body or identity that doesn't conform to societal norms. But the logic of the gospel pushes us there. 1 John tells us that no one has seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us. God becomes visible not in abstraction, not in purity, not in safe distance, but in embodied love. If that is true, we should not be surprised when God shows up most clearly in people that religion has overlooked. We should not be surprised when the face of Christ appears among the marginalized, the stigmatized, the gender nonconforming, the ones the world has treated as disposable. Romans 12 gives that vision flesh. Love one another. Show honor. Contribute to needs. Practice hospitality. Rejoice and weep together. That is the kind of love that Angel practices. Embodied, noticing, accompanying, honoring dignity, saying by action more than speech, you will not disappear while I am here. Angel shows us that divinity is not vague spirituality or just human connection is nice. But the mystery that God is made known in vulnerable, relational love. God meets us in the human act of caring for one another. God abides in communities that refuse to let suffering have the last word. And in Rent, that revelation comes through someone many religious people would have been least likely to call holy. That should stop us. It should make us ask, where are we still missing Christ? Because Christ has arrived in a form that we did not expect. It should make us ask, whose dignity is still treated as conditional? It should make us ask whether the church knows how to recognize holiness when it comes wearing platform boots, carrying grief, speaking truth, and gathering the wounded into community. And that brings us back to the central spiritual question of Rent. How do you measure a life? By the standards of empire, Angel's life looks fragile, precarious, too short, too marginal, disposable. By the standards of gospel, it overflows with glory and grace. Empire measures life by control and wealth and safety. The gospel measures life by love. By how deeply we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and how faithfully we show up in the vulnerability of others. It's a both and. That is the shape that Angel's life takes in Rent. Not perfect, not easy, but poured out in care. This is where the story stops being about a musical and starts pressing on us. By empire standards, you are successful if you stay in control, if you keep things tidy, and if you avoid too much mess. By the gospel standards, you are faithful if you let your hearts be opened, if you are willing to be seen in your own pain, and if you step toward, not away from, the pain of others. Sitting at a bedside instead of looking away from illness. Listening to someone's story of stigma or exclusion and letting it matter. walking with someone through grief, depression, transition, heartache, or loss. That is what it means to live as Christ intends. That is life measured in seasons of love. After Angel dies, the community has to decide whether her love and unifying presence were just a brief, beautiful moment, or whether they will continue to live by what she taught them. Collins stands and sings about what Angel's love meant, how it covered him, carried him, and changed him. He measures Angel's life not by how long it was, but by how he received and now carries forward her love. That same question stands in front of all of us. How will we measure our lives? How will we measure the lives of those we have loved and lost? Empire will always tell us to count years and achievements and control. The gospel invites us to count love. The love we have received and the love that we dare to give, especially in the face of vulnerability and pain and suffering. When you bear your own vulnerability honestly, and when you show up for others in theirs, you are not just being kind, you are stepping into the very life of Christ. You are experiencing the fullness of love, the fullness of God. In a moment, as we hear Colin sing, "I'll Cover You," remembering Angel after her death, let this song be more than a tribute inside the story. Let it be a mirror. Ask yourself, whose love has covered you? And whose life are you being called to cover now with your presence, your courage, your tenderness, your refusal to walk away? How do you measure a life? Not by fear, not by scarcity, not by respectability, but by love. Love that risks vulnerability, protects dignity, and refuses to abandon one another. Receive this song as gratitude for the love that has carried you thus far, and as a call to live today, not tomorrow, but today, in that same stubborn, defiant, grace-filled, Christ-shaped love. Thanks be to God. Amen.